We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradford. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
And it is retrieved by Krug. Podesta on to Marchand. Podesta right through to Krug. And here's Krug's shot. He scores! Krug, and it's 3-for-3 on the power play. Shoved on back to Krug. Across for a drive. Score! Johansson. The Bruins with yet another power play goal. And it is 7-2.
Today's program, to channel the great John Dennis, is brought to you by the number 4. Gentlemen, 4. 4 power play goals for the Bruins last night.
I thought you was like meant Bobby Orr.
4 points for Torey Krug. And yes, Bobby Orr, of course, Wiggy, okay. Always number 4 in our heart. Number 4, really number 1 in our hearts, number 4 in your
How many
scorebooks.
Hours it took me to drive back from New York last night?
Let's lead off with this. Rob Bradford, the warrior,
what a warrior
of WEEI, making
amazing.
Me feel guilty.
Why?
That was a little pot shot at me. Before.
You're like drinking your Amstel Lights.
I am.
And
Hashtag ad.
Yeah. Right. Was that
a
sponsor?
Yes,
oh,
the great people in Amstel Light. We're doing
the face of Amstel
doing
right
reads for them. Okay. Yes, all summer
Not
long.
Only Amstel Light, it's Pride Month, right?
It is Pride Month, absolutely. Yes, so Amstel Light celebrating Pride Month and the Bruins Cup run, because that's what we were all gathered for at my house last night, of course, as we always are.
I'm like trucking down the Merritt Parkway, and you're like soaking in, basking
when you're
in
big,
Amstel Lights.
When you're an influencer such as yours truly, Rob, you get paid the big bucks for that. That's a hard day's work. Display I set up, that took like half an hour.
It's much like the apple that I just took a picture of.
It's very pretty. I'm healthy.
What's going on? Look at you. I've never seen you more energetic and enthusiastic for the beginning of this show.
Because it's Pride Month. Wiggy has it. Pete Blackburn is here. Hello, Pete. Doesn't answer my DMs to take part in stories, but it stays on to do the show.
Was this the Bruins thing?
Because Pete's one of these guys who probably thinks like, oh, Reamer, I can't talk to him. The Twitter people dislike me. Oh,
that's
man.
Not the case.
He's not good. I'll just ignore it. I'm above him. Nope. He's here with us. Thank you for staying along.
You bet.
Do you get the bill an extra hour here to accounts payable, or what's going on?
I'm still owed quite a bit.
Oh, wow. Doctor. I like this. All right. There you go.
So it's Reamer.
Put it on the tab.
Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo, Pete Blackburn
Keep
from
waiting.
Sunday Skate staying with us for another hour. So why?
Venmo.
You don't think me and Wiggy can handle the hockey? Can handle the hockey analysis?
Listen, I'm the best hockey expert out there. I've told you this, and Jerry, I give Jerry a little piece of the credit, because Jerry and I said this before I went down to the Dirty South and I went to Hotlanta, that this series is over. Last night proved it. The Bruins should be up 3-0 in this series. If it wasn't for, you know, I would say, 70% of Marchand's dumb mistake in game 2, but then Chara had an opportunity to clear out the puck on the Blue's second goal.
I knew
goal.
You would blame Chara.
Here we go. We know he's the heart and soul of this team. We know he's the captain, he's the guy, this and the other, but if you've been watching this series, man, it looks like he's skating in.
All right, Wiggy. They won 7-2.
Yes.
Okay. This is like Brian Barrett, Red Sox review, complaining about Nathan Eovaldi's contract.
No,
5
I'm not
minutes
complaining.
After Michael Chavis
they won
walk-off.
7-2. Yeah.
They won 7-2. We'll get to Chara.
Yeah.
All right, right.
Well, they should be up 3-0 in the series.
What was that reference just made? What?
I was listening. I was like, a Red Sox review is like Brian Barrett, who's doing a fine job.
Good guy.
Michael Chavis has a walk-off, and in like 5 minutes in, we're complaining about Nathan Eovaldi's contract.
That's what it is to be a Red Sox fan.
That is the best example.
Well, I'm not complaining about Chara's performance out there. We already know what he is.
You just complained about his performance.
I said he is what he is. I said the Bruins would be up 3-0 in this series. They'd be going for the sweep, but now it's going to have to be the gentleman's sweep because he wasn't able to make that play in game 2, which led to the B's second goal.
Pete, this is why you're sticking around. Because you're the voice of hockey reason.
Yes.
You're the one.
I'm the hockey expert.
You stare right at Wiggy. You stare him down twice last week. You made him speechless, which was impressive.
Well, I was thinking.
That was
quite a long time to think.
Exactly. Stepford Wives.
Sometimes it doesn't get through with the CT
malfunction.
I'll say,
it's kicking in.
In game two, Chara didn't look great on that sequence, but as we has already mentioned, 70% of the blame goes to Brad Marchand on that play for allowing it to happen, and also dogging it on the back check, which really get covered enough.
No, that was really
my liking. But look at what happened last night. I mean, I guess you can say that the one bad play or a couple bad plays that Chara had was behind the goal line on the McAvoy goal off his skates. But other than that, what didn't you like?
No, it's not that I didn't like it. I know what he is. That's all I'm saying. And he's playing a ton of minutes, and we know what he is, and he's the heart and soul. But just looking at the guy, I personally think, listen, go out on top. The Bruins are going to win the Stanley Cup. Let this be your last
You ready
year.
To say that at this point?
Yeah.
Wow, what a bold move.
I am too. I'm ready to say that. Know. Here's a question, though. You guys discussed this at length this morning. If and when the Bruins win, does Chara, is he the first one who hoists the cup?
Yes, I agree. Who
gets it afterwards?
I think Tuka should get it afterwards.
Absolutely.
Then after Tuka, Bergeron, and then if you want to give it a back issue.
How about Marshy? Why don't you give Marchand?
Well, I think Marchand, maybe he's up there, but I think Backus is probably fourth.
Why? Why is Backus? Give me this argument again. Why Backus is...
I think St. Louis, if they win it in St. Louis, Backus gets it earlier.
Like a sweet revenge kind of thing?
That and like
No, he
the
just
crowd.
Played for that organization. Yeah. He's kind
of... There's going to be people in the crowd that want to see
of that
him
organization.
Raise it.
Yeah.
So.
Ray Bourque, Colorado, same thing.
I mean, we got that comparison on a car.
Basically, if St. Louis does come back and win, I think they are going to let Backus raise the cup.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they're going to let them do that.
But Backus, though, is totally in with the black and gold. You kidding me? I mean, Sammy Blaze hits him early within the first 30 seconds last night.
He's got a target on his back. I will say that. There are a couple times when you look at the
Edmondson
Blues.
Had him earlier in the series, too, where he went after him. So I don't think that he's...
What, Rob?
He might be friends with those guys in the room, but they don't care.
But he's looking for them, too. There was a play in the game last night where he had an opportunity to play the puck and he just said, the hell with this, and he went after, I forget who it was, along the board. So there's definitely some of that little bad blood there, but this series, like I said, this series is over. Do you really think the Blues can make this a 6-7?
No, that was absolutely a pathetic effort. Right. I mean, they played well for the first 10 minutes and it's like, what happened? There's, a lot more minutes left to play after the first 10. Gentlemen.
I mean, if they don't play
discipline,
because
that's when you stopped watching
over.
It because you had Amstel lights to tend to.
I watched it this morning as well. Actually.
Oh, you did?
Yes,
I replay. DVR. Did you really?
I'm a technologically advanced man.
Oh, wow.
I'm a technologically advanced man.
If they don't play discipline, the series is over. But if we're seeing more 5-on-5, it's a close series.
Even with the 5-on-5 play, it's just the Bruins are they're more physical. The only thing that the Blues are trying to do now, and we've seen this in. Is they're trying to play dirty. They're looking to maybe potentially hurt a guy, take a guy out. Even after, I think it was goal 6, I think it was Achari's goal at the end of the game, the empty netter. Pietrangelo.
Pietrangelo, yeah.
Takes a swing out.
And what's the point of that? That's trying to injure
right?
Yeah. Right?
That's the only way they know they could beat the Bruins. I mean, you look at... Even with the first line playing the way that they're playing, they get scoring from everywhere. The defenseman, Krug, had a great game last night. The third and fourth line, we've always talked about. And now Binnington, forget about it.
But if that's the way that the only way that they think they can beat the Bruins, well, then they're idiots because they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
And the crazy thing is, last night, so the Blues had 35 hits. We're talking about how physical they were. Bruins had 29. So the Bruins are almost just as physical as St. Louis, except they can stay out of the penalty box.
They're not going out of their way to be physical.
Right, it's part of their game.
Right.
Yeah, so. And that to me is my biggest takeaway. You have a big game to win if you're the St. Louis Blues. You're coming back home, great national anthem, everyone's pumped up. And then, I mean, just these terrible, terrible penalties. Bruins 4-for-4 in the power play. It's just
And the one that
stupid.
I look at, too, the penalty
Hockey.
That I look at is the Colton Parenko up high on Marchand right after they score the first goal, where they at least have some momentum.
Right.
It's 4-1. They have a chance to maybe start climbing back in the game immediately after that goal. Parayko takes a completely unnecessary high sticking call to Marchand, and they score on the penalty, and it's 5-1. So, I mean, they're killing themselves.
But even the Bruins, their second and third goal to make it 2-0 and 3-0. Both of those goals, they didn't come off the power play. That was off the great textbook textbook breakout by Heinen. Right. Was it Johansson and your guy
Coyle?
It was a Coolery on that one, right? That was Coyle. And then the third goal was your boy Coolery, who not only did he have did he have the steal at center ice, but he then ultimately turned that into a goal. That's the one that they reviewed. But you just look at the way they're playing 5-on-5. You look at this Bruins team. It's a team for destiny. It's going to be Chara, hoist the cup, great run, captain, next year. Game one.
He's going to be riding his bike in the Alps.
They'll bring out, they'll bring him out and hoist his jersey.
Oh, how about the idea that was also floated on Sunday Skate that Char is going to give the C to Bergeron in like a post-cup ceremony? A little much, though, I think.
I
think having Chara play with two jerseys in a game six or a game seven is not the best idea. Right.
No? Like a little reveal at the end?
He'll do it next year when they call him out, when they call everybody out and, he announces his retirement. He'll give it to Bergeron with the C.
But that's the thing, too, about the Bruins. You mentioned the Corrali goal, or Corey. However you want to
get it right, Corey.
Do I have to, cross to bear now?
Yes, it's like Cowie Leonard, so Corey.
So, I mean, scoring, and how about, and our man, I mean, you wrote the post yesterday, Rob, John Moore.
Oh, my
replacing
goodness.
Replacing Matt Grzelcyk, 13 minutes
they had other options. I know, they had other options. They went with John Moore, correct, right?
Yeah, he had a good game.
The other option is Steve Kampfer.
Exactly, that's what I wrote, so it must be true.
So Pete, so tell me about the Blues. So they're coming off a big game to win.
Wait,
he's a hockey expert.
I know.
What do you want to know? The Blues stink.
But what is
Pete, tell me about the Blues.
What is Ruby saying? What is he saying? Let's just go out of our way and hit these guys, try to decapitate them. Let's just get penalties.
Stick around till 2 and tell me about the Blues.
What is the strategy? Are they going off script there? Is Berube telling them, let's, try to decapitate these guys and...
This is completely out of character for the Blues. They're a disciplined team.
They're the least penalized team in the league through the first rounds of the playoffs, right?
They have not been this bad and this stupid through the first three rounds. They've been a pretty smart team. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know whether you want to call it lack of experience.
That's exactly what it is. Is that you see a team that's more talented than you are, and you're thinking, much like you come away from game two.
But you could argue, you could argue that the San Jose Sharks were more talented than the Blues were.
You could, but you would be wrong in that argument.
No, you would.
I don't think so.
You'd be right. I think San Jose is more talented than the Blues.
They have more holes, but I think overall they're more talented.
Okay,
than
so the Bruins are smarter. They're from Boston.
They're better.
They have more experience.
Yes. But you come away from that game too, and the narrative was, hey, they're going to do the same thing. They did the same exact thing to San Jose. They got them all ruffled up, and now they're going to be on their way. They're going to play their brand of hockey. But the Bruins didn't buy into it. That's the difference, right? And they are. You can argue whether they're talented as the Sharks, but they are more talented than the St. Louis Blues. And the only way the Blues can win is how they won in Game 2, right? But you would have to admit the Bruins bought into that. The Bruins were part of that equation. If the Bruins just do what they do, they'll be okay.
Well, in Game 2, if they don't make mistakes, if they don't make that horrible mistake by what we talked about with Marchand and Chara, the Blues don't win that game. And you look at, even in that game, game two, the Bruins were kind of all over them a little bit.
It got
out of hand in the third period in the overtime. But you look at that game, and that's a game that the Bruins probably still should have won. But then, like you said, Reema, here's a game you're able to split in Boston. You come back home, and now it's like this is your chance to really say, okay, we're here to win the series or make it a series if you're a Blues fan, and then they go out there and they get absolutely mollywopped.
Yeah, I said it after game two, and it was sort of like a joking spin zone tweet on Twitter, but like they force overtime in a game where they got completely outplayed and the top line looked terrible. They had 5 defensemen, and they still went to overtime against a team that looked far superior to them. So, like... I there's no question in my mind the Bruins are a better team, and I think that they're better at adjustments as well. You saw that in Game 3. They were much better at gap control. They forced the Blues to dump pucks in, and then the Bruins beat them to those pucks down low, and the Blues weren't able to get much of anything going offensively. That's what they need to do to limit the Blues team, because they're most effective when they're able to set up in the zone and work down low, and the Bruins didn't allow them to do that in Game 3.
As Matt Kalman wrote on WEI.com, Rob, everything is going to be all right. See?
No, he said that two games ago.
Yes.
Or a game ago.
Well, game
now,
two.
Now, we were focusing on the column he wrote today, which is the Blues are dirty.
Yes. They are dirty.
Just keep that narrative going.
But he was very prescient, Matt Kalman. Everything's going to be all right. You mocked him for the calm. He said he got to play with people's emotions.
And I agree with him. They are dirty.
He was correct.
No, I was correct. You have to play with people's emotions. That's what he did today.
Kalman is a hockey expert. As I said,
Pete knows this. When you're covering a team and everyone's screaming and yelling, and games like that, everyone knew that they were going to be okay. He was right. Kalman was right. But in this series, much like the Vancouver series, what makes it memorable and what people love is calling the other team dirty.
Well, yeah. So. I'm hesitant to call them dirty.
They are. Come on.
Hear me out.
What do you call Braden Shen tried to do to Pastrnak?
Hear me out.
They're running Tuukka.
But it's not malicious dirty. It's stupid dirty. They're cheap and they're trying
because
to be
because they know they can't beat this team, so they have to.
So I think I agree with you. I just don't know if I would call it dirty first.
What would you call it?
Because when I think dirty, I think like guys intentionally trying to injure guys.
They're playing like
playing stupid.
They're playing like goons is what they're doing.
Fine.
They're playing like goons because they know when you know, for somebody who's a beer league MVP, when a guy's
Beer league.
When you're from Boston, you say beer. I don't know where you're from, Reamer. But when
Mean Streets and Natick.
When
now the Mean Streets are Roxbury.
A guy opposing you cannot keep up with you. He now starts to take in some goonery play, and that's what's saying.
Or just desperation.
Who's the goon? Who's the goon of your beer league?
They're not even good at goon play. Like David Perron is your guy trying to mix it up with Tuukka Rask.
But that's goonery play. That's what they're doing. I'm telling you. What's the coach's name for St. Louis? How do you say his name?
Berube.
He's gonna say, "Hey, listen, we're gonna take." He's gonna show them the opening scene from the last Boy Scout, and he's gonna
He's gonna show them the last game in Slapshot. Oglethorpe.
No, he's gonna show. Have you ever seen the movie The Last Boy Scout?
Yeah, of course.
The opening scene.
Talking about a guy gets shot while running in the end zone. It's very realistic.
He's gonna try to give one of those guys a pistol as this game down the end. Shoot as many Bruins in the legs as possible.
I think this time of year, you have to be dirty to a certain extent. It works in your favor if you can toe the line and end up on the right side of it. They're not doing it correctly, and they're doing it, and they look stupid in the process.
Dirty is like kind of what we see Marchand do at times, right? The little things that get under your skin.
Well, yeah, it's David Backes digging his fist or his elbow into the back of Binnington's leg in a scrum in the crease, and then Binnington gives him an elbow in the face. That's playoff hockey.
But
that's
fine. They're doing is like they're crossing that line. They're playing. They're in the desperation goon mode of let's run the goalie, let's hit high.
I don't even know if they're crossing the line because they're just making themselves look so stupid in the process.
Oh no, it's leading to penalties.
What they try to do with Chari at the end is dirty, though.
Yeah, but
there's no
dirty.
Other
that's
excuse
dirty.
For that. Yes. Game's out of hand. You're trying to slash him and hurt the guy.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of like the Perron with Tuukka Rask both times, and then Maroon going after Chara. You just look so stupid. It's very obvious what you're trying.
But it's not that complicated, and we said this after game two, which is, okay, you can play that way, but when you have the power play and you make them pay, you end up being exactly what you said.
I think Dale said that.
Stupid.
I think Dale said that.
I know, and he's foremost hockey expert.
And I heard that.
Yes, exactly. The foremost hockey expert of this station. I also heard, much like you did down in Georgia, because I was in New York, we were all over the place listening to the app.
Right.
Doc Emrick saying how there's been three fights the entire playoff. Right.
Mike Emrick.
Michael Emrick said there's only been three fights. And what did he say? Like in 80, whatever it was, or 90, there was like 87 fights or something like that.
Well, you could tell that the Blues last night were trying to bait the Bruins into a fight, but no one bought the bait.
No one fights.
I thought one time Chara was going to go with it, and why not? I'm like at the point now, go ahead. Hey, if they want that ass whipping, drop the gloves, give it to them, and now
that's what I said to you.
Yeah, that is what you said to me before.
Chara's already given it to Maroon.
But they want it in the playoffs, right? Give it to them, and now you already crushed their will. Your foot's on their neck right now. You're choking the life out of them. Now it's time to just snap it, finish it.
Six one.
You ever play that game, Mortal Kombat? Yeah. Finish them.
I've never played.
Well,
is it a video game?
Yeah,
is
that like, it's too violent for
me. It is.
Like
I don't
Pitfall
like violence. Yes.
On Atari 2600?
No, if Rima played, played, he'd be writing an article about how violent it is.
Much about, and I also would like to get, maybe we'll get to when Pete is here, all these headshots, the NFL, whenever there's
how
a headshot.
How violent and
well, it's true.
And Barstool likes it, so you definitely
can't.
Oh,
we will definitely get to that as well. Whenever there are headshots in the NFL, everyone's caterwauls, oh my God, I can't believe this, concussions. Hockey, guys are slamming each other's heads into the board.
So
no one says anything about it.
Why have you wrote an article?
You're not
about
on Twitter. They
on
say
Monday.
A lot about
well,
it.
They should
it's
say
the
more
worst.
About it. The
Where
the
is
NHL
Rima with his
should
take
say it, less about
the,
it.
The NHL should take it more
this.
Seriously. Why this Neanderthal backwards mentality?
Because
it's coming Monday.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, many articles.
Yeah, Monday is our big traffic day, Wiggy.
Yeah.
We're
going to
write about why the NHL, this Neanderthal, and even you, Pete, you're a sophisticated guy, and you're, oh, yeah, I want more headshots.
It's like women's lacrosse. Like women's lacrosse. My wife played it. You can't. Unlike men's lacrosse, which is vicious,
yes.
Right? Women's lacrosse, you have a bubble over the head. You
okay.
can't. There's no like contact. So that's exactly how.
So
you
at the end
want.
Of
I
the,
no
at
contact.
The end of your article, you're going to be saying Massachusetts should ban ice hockey
under 12.
Yeah,
under the age of 12. Absolutely, it's preserve the brains. Also, we want to hear from you early and often today at 617-779-7937. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradford, special guest appearance from a hockey expert, Pete Blackburn. But first, let's grab a trending. So Pete, so tell me about the Blues.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Back to Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Bruce, during the long layoff that you guys had, you were talking about Torrey, and one of the words you used was you thought he was underappreciated at that point. Do you think he's still underappreciated?
Well, hopefully not in Boston. Certainly not in our locker room. Never has been. But I think that when I said that, it was in the context of he's an offensive defenseman. He's a power play specialist. And I think people don't realize how hard he is when he wants to play that, you know, a physical game. And he does play big minutes now lately against good players with Carlo.
It's Bruce Cassidy.
That's your third best defenseman on the team. I told you that. Torrey Krug.
Waxing poetic about Torrey Krug. He certainly was great last night.
I love Krug.
Puck-moving defenseman.
Yes.
That's what he is, Wiggy.
Oh. Puck-moving defenseman. Offensive defenseman.
By the way, I didn't disagree with you when you said that he was the third best defenseman.
No. Char is like fourth best probably on the team, right?
No.
Right? In terms of...
Maybe he said he's like the seventh best defenseman.
You guys were like going back and forth in the break. What's going on? Let's go!
I said fifth or sixth.
Let's go, Pete. And let's go. This is your chance.
You make that argument.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Start yelling at him.
I mean, he said... what did you say? That he plays too many minutes a night.
He does. He plays way too many minutes a night.
The Bruins are leading 2-1 in the Stanley Cup final, and he's playing 24 minutes.
And it's not because of him. Listen, he plays, and this is what I don't get, right? This is what I don't get. I know you talk about it, Pete. I know Dale talks about it. I feel like there must be a different game that I'm watching. Because I say, you know what? I'm going to just focus on Chara every shift. And when I watch him, I'm
you
like...
You see what you want to see.
Right.
No, I don't see what I want to see.
Do they call that like perception bias?
No.
Yes.
No, I go into it and I'm like, come on, Chara, make me happy. I'm a fan of his.
Is it not making you happy that they're winning the Stanley Cup final?
His dead gerbil after Chara.
Wait. How come that wasn't in trending now?
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yes.
Wiggy shared that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes. My son named his dead gerbil.
After he died?
No, before he died.
Oh,
Did you kill it because of that?
Oh.
He named him Chara, and then he just couldn't move fast enough, and he got ate by like I think it was a fox or something like that.
Stop it.
But I said this. He should be playing 12, 13 minutes a night.
And who do you want to take those minutes, though?
I wanted Grizzlick at first, but ultimately he got hurt. John Moore looked good last night.
He did. He looked good. I think he was inspired by my post.
Do you think that you are a better hockey mind than Bruce Cassidy?
I think at times when it comes to talking about Chara, because he clearly has a bias for him because he coaches, he's in that locker room, he's in that, excuse me, that dressing room with him. Chara wears that C on his shoulder. So he definitely views him in another light. And I'm like, Bruce.
Pete, I can tell you, I can answer this question.
Yes.
Wiggy's not, because I coached Wiggy in hockey, right? I was the. Were you? Did you play in that game?
I did.
Did you play
I'll
on
say
our
Wiggy's
team?
A great hockey.
Did you play
player.
On our team? Or were you on the other?
I was on the other.
You team. Were on the losing team.
Yes.
Yes.
I only coach winning teams.
Wiggy hard okay. to coach.
This is the media game at Fenway. He was such a pain in the butt.
What took us?
He's such a pain. He was the guy in the pickup game. He
was Kyrie Irving.
He was the gym class hero.
He was the gym class hero. He was yelling at the guy saying, "Hey, I know you drove 4 hours down from
Picard.
I know you drove 4 hours down from Bangor, Maine, but get off the.
We were having a good time on a rainy, pouring, rainy ice at Fenway Park.
Me and Danny Picard were there to win. Right, a couple kids. From the
I
city.
Was in charge with putting the right lines on the ice, and I did. I fended you off, Wiggy.
Right, like Buchagross said. Right, there were tons of road cones out there. We're playing in Fenway. It's the, you know, it's the pinnacle of the hockey world.
You have me behind the bench.
Right. Yeah.
With a fedora.
You had Bradfo behind the bench, and there was like, it was like, listen, we should have just started cutting guys after like the first 5 minutes of the game.
That was Tom.
Too many minutes.
Tom Karen was your coach.
Too.
Was he?
Yes. Yeah.
How
he drafted me?
Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Like, I did
I
not
like
draft
the second
you.
Pick.
Tom Karen.
You
were?
No, I was the second pick.
I was pretty
the
high.
Pick. Picard was first. I was second.
I know.
How'd you pull that one off? That's
because
pretty good.
I'm a hockey genius.
That's a pretty good.
Listen. Maybe you can be the coach. I'm the GM.
All right. I don't need to be the coach.
I don't even know how to skate, nor can I even tie.
That's why you weren't taking.
Hey, listen. You would have fit right in with 90% of those guys.
He couldn't skate either.
They couldn't skate either.
Hockey media.
It's like they drove down just to be like, oh, this is a beautiful. No, we're here to play hockey and skate. Get your ass up.
How come you guys didn't take a run at Wiggy?
You want me, the 5'6 guy, to take a run at Wiggy?
Why not? Yeah,
not a great idea.
I feel like you're like the Marshawn of that team.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could do some dirty things.
But I got that gooner style too now. I'm right back at it. I'm a goonery player.
Oh, I know you are a gooner.
I'm a heavy player.
Believe me, I know. You're
Who's
a gooner player.
Who's my call Wiggy in for a special appearance in game 4?
Ooh, nice.
How about that, Wiggy? Would you take a run at Chara if you're on the Blues?
No, because I'm a Bruins fan. So I would be like, listen, I would tell Sweeney, listen, hey, put me in there instead of Chara because I was a defenseman when I played.
Have you ever gotten in a hockey fight?
No.
Do you think you could beat Char in a fight, not necessarily on skates, but just on the ground.
He see how long he is.
Yeah, well, you think this guy is crazy?
But I fight dirty, though. See, I don't know if Char would want that because I would definitely hit him with a bat right to the knees.
Joe,
I'd have to bring him down on my level a little bit.
Joe is in Denham. He doesn't like us counting our chickens before they hatch, if you will. What's up, Joe?
How you doing?
What's going on?
I almost called it this Sunday skate because they were talking about the same thing about. You know, who's the first guy to raise the cup after Chara? Look, we're from Boston. We don't talk about those things. It reminds me of 2003 when the Red Sox were in Game 7 against the Yankees.
Right.
And they cut back to Fenway Park and they're painting the World Series logo behind the plate. Or the time that Philadelphia was playing on their victory parade two days before Donovan McNabb throws up all over his shoes. We don't talk about those things.
Listen,
you know,
I'm the only guy here who seems to be saying that the Blues still have a chance.
Well, usually we don't talk about them when the opponent is a decent team with the Yankees and maybe could have a chance to win the series or come back or, you know, if there's games in football, could potentially win the game. But the Bruins, they're far superior than the Blues. Like I said, the only way they lose the series is if, like, 4 or 5 of their top guys all get hurt. And they're out for good.
So make that argument for me, Pete. So why do you think the Blues still have a chance here?
Because they're a good team, and they've been a resilient team.
Yeah, they looked
good
last night.
No, they did not look good last night. That's what I'm saying.
But that's what you said after game 1, though.
But that's what I'm saying. If they play like they did last night, and they play that on discipline, they stand no chance. But if it goes back to a smarter game where it's 5-on-5 for a majority of the game, I think the Blues have a chance.
You know, how would you say that the Bruins played in game 2?
Not well.
And they still took it to overtime with 5 defensemen.
Right. Yes, I said that. But I also think that the Blues forced them into playing not well for a good portion of that game.
And the Bruins had obviously clearly had an opportunity to win that game. So
You could also say the same, honestly, about the Blues in game one, though.
They've played three games, right? And for three of these games, the Bruins look like the far superior and better team, except in, and even in game two, well, like we talked about it, as bad as they played, they still had a chance to win that game. So who's, what makes you think that the Bruins are now, all of a sudden, after a great performance in game three, are now just going to not play the way that they have been playing through the majority of the series?
Well, and the first line finally woke up last night as well, which is bad news for the Blues.
The first line woke up in the sense that they didn't allow much against. And that's the bare minimum that you want from that line, to be able to shut down the opposing team's top talent. Their production last night came on the power play. Let's not let that get mixed up.
Not on 5-on-5.
So they haven't woken up offensively. But, I mean, it's a better sign that they were able to shut down.
And you know the other thing, Pete? The other thing is now Binnington.
He looks bad.
So where do you go from here? If you're the Blues coach, where do you go from here? You pulled your goalie in last night's game. Now, if he plays in game four, he's going to be thinking about that in the back of his mind. So that's even another reason why I think the series is
completely. He's not going to be thinking about that. You don't think he's been pulled before?
His numbers this year after
a
loss.
He's a rookie, though.
Hold on, listen. Pete's going to drop some knowledge on you.
His numbers this year after a loss are really, really good. And it's like a 930 save
and where
percentage.
When did he get those numbers?
The halfway through the year, all the way to now,
and in the majority
regular season and postseason,
majority of the regular season, because he didn't get pulled in the postseason until last night, right? So think about this: the first time he gets pulled is in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals. So to say that this kid is a rookie is not going to be thinking about that in Game 4. No, he is going to be. That's going to be in the back of his mind. That's going to rent space. In his mind.
We used the term dented two series ago. Yes.
Well, dented, whatever you want to use, rattled, cracked.
There is a case to be made that Jordan Binnington is dented.
I think he has
not looked good.
Forget about him getting pulled. The goals that he has given up, including like going back to game two and game one, haven't been tough saves.
No, I mean, what was the worst one last night? The Bergeron one was very soft goal, I thought, for the
Bears. The Bergeron one was a tip. It's hard for me to blame him on that. It's the Krug one.
The pasta backhand, that was weak. He was left completely wide open in front of the net. Come on, you're supposed to make that save. Pasta's on his backhand. You got the angle on him, and you drop down, and Pasta's able to put it over your shoulder.
He was hung out to dry. So I'll say that the Krug goal and the Corrali goal are ones where you look at.
Corrali's right through the five hole.
That is accurate.
It's good hockey talk right there.
And also, his worst one was when he was on the bench. They pulled the goalie. Wasn't even there. When Panger was on with you guys earlier, excellent interview, by the way.
Thank you. Oh my goodness.
I think Darren Pang was booked solely just they could replay it on the morning show this week.
I think Ken just has a soft spot for the Panger. But
who doesn't?
So you ask him about the game last night, and he immediately goes to how great the crowd was in St. Louis.
Yeah, I know.
That was bizarre. Hey, what do you think about the game? You know, why did the Blues lose? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, let me just tell you, I've never been part of a introductory warm-up ceremony like that I saw last night. That was impressive. It's like the fire. He's praising the fireworks.
Not to mention all the momentum from that ceremony and that pregame ceremony was sucked out of the building as soon as you get an icing 2 seconds into the game.
That's how it usually works.
Well, this
is why pregame speeches. Wiggy knows this more than anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick didn't get on the stool in the middle of the locker room to give the pregame speech. It's stupid. I've learned that my many years of coaching. You just sit there all day and say, "What am I going to do for the pregame speech?" It doesn't matter.
You're a grown man. You need another.
Well, even if you are a grown man, the first 20 seconds of a game, it comes and it goes. You're not thinking, "Oh man, you know I got to try harder because." He really had a great speech in the locker room 15 minutes ago.
Because he threw a chair in the locker room?
that doesn't happen.
Nope.
In these behind-the-scenes things, Bruce Cassidy, so they mic'd him up or whatever, you know. Has he done anything like this? He just said, hey, you know, we got to play better, you know. Bleepity bleep bleep bleep, let's play better. That's it.
And the Blues are having their pep talks at the urinal. During intermission.
Yeah, that's where he got the motivation.
I mean, after that came out, I was like, is this supposed to be a feel-good story? Don't talk to me at the urinal while I'm peeing.
Right?
Just leave me alone.
It's the same thing with the photos, right? The same thing in the photos in the locker room for the Bruins. Good. All right. We all remember. That's fine. Super. But when you get out there and you're 20 seconds in, you know that photo reminded me what I was playing for.
The best photo last night was after Coyle's goal. See that shot of him and Johansson celebrating? Yes.
The best photo that just came out from our my guy Mike Hurley is just Tugaras laughing in Perron's face.
And that, yeah.
See, that's the thing that this...
And I wanted to bring that up, too. I mean, how unnatural does that look?
But
I mean,
that's the thing that shows the blue stupidity, right?
Well, that's
if you're going to go after somebody and try to get under their skin, you don't go after Tuukka Rask. He's the most, like, cerebral person out there. You go after Marchand. You go after somebody that's a little bit more hot-headed.
Yep.
You're going after Tuukka. He's like, you know, we seen him the other night during the national anthem. He was like a damn cyborg robot statue. You don't go after him. He does his thing, and he gets the hell out of the crease if there's some junk going on. You go after the look.
As someone who's been to Finland, and I have been to Finland, I can tell you they're all very even keel.
That's it. You can't rattle those guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying they're stupid. They're approaching it in the wrong way. They're stupid because the Bruins are just laughing at them. They're not effective in trying to get under their skin. You look at what happened in 2011. We all hated the Canucks because they were effective in the way that they ticked off the Bruins.
Right.
They effectively got under their skin, and it made a difference in the series. Maybe not in the long run, but there was a point where we hated the Canucks. It's hard to say that you hate the Blues right now because they're so pathetic.
Right, and you go 4-4 in the power play. That's a great point you mentioned, Pete, right, because you look and see Bergeron scored. Okay, Pasta scored first line, they're back, but that's a good point. It came on the power play. So, I mean, if the Blues can keep it 5-on-5, but they can't.
Yeah, but they were down 3-0 after the first period, and two of those goals came on 5-on-5 play.
Yeah, but not for the first line, though. That was Coyle and
Rally. Yeah, right. But the point you're saying 5-on-5 play, granted, the first line didn't play as well, but guess what? The first line doesn't play every shift of the first period. That's why the second and the third line and the fourth line come out.
Well,
there.
The Bruins all postseason have gotten production from the third and fourth
line. So if you're not able to maybe get production out of your first line on the 5-on-5, you're. Like last night proved, you can get production from your third or your fourth line on the 5-on-5.
That's what I'm saying, that like if you're getting that shutdown performance from the top line, they don't necessarily need to produce because you have the depth. And I think coming into the series, I said the Blues had the advantage on the bottom six because I like their bottom six forwards. I feel less comfortable saying that now. The Bruins have looked really good with those third and fourth lines. I think that they can hold the scoring edge there. So all you need from that top line is to not give up anything.
Right. We saw that last night. 617-779-7937. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo with a special guest appearance from Pete Blackburn. We'll be right back.
Right back to Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Darren Pang joins us on Sports Radio WEI. Good morning, Darren.
Well, good morning, fellas. A good morning for Boston hockey fans, that's for sure. coming into St. Louis, where, the place was absolutely nutty. I was sitting up there at 5 minutes into the introductions and all the Jumbotron and the emotion and everything, and I said, I'm exhausted.
Bruin, you suck! Screw you!
See, that kid needs to be in that crowd.
Yeah, like him.
Oh, he's the best. And I found him.
That's
I discovered
a fan
him.
Right there. That's good passion.
I discovered him in the streets of Toronto.
See, your next Bruins columnist, perhaps.
He may be. I like his attitude. But absolutely, he should be. The Blues should hire him because if you're going to have that, where you're it was great. It was just the pregame ceremony was so great. It was so awesome.
I know.
Doesn't this speak to exactly where these people are coming from, which is we are just super, super
happy to be here.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, the general consensus that I got from Blues fans on Twitter last night was just that, like, this is who we are. We stink. And we've been waiting for this team to revert back
Which is sad because the Bruins would be easy to... If you can start with Marchand, right? This is the default for every team that plays the Bruins, and the Blues fans can't even do that.
Would hate Marchand?
Yes.
Well, he hasn't really done anything. Yeah,
I don't care.
Well, you just want him to hate him for his retroactive actions?
Walks in the building, you hate him.
I mean, I understand the point that you're making of you hate him. It's like, I didn't know Jeter one bit. But he was a Yankee, and you just hated him.
It's like a starter detestable kit for facing the Bruins.
Torrey Krug should be, I guess, the enemy, right, for St. Louis with his hit on Robert Thomas in Game 1. I mean,
well, it should be Marchand.
But that doesn't take away from Marchand. You have it's built in to hate Marchand when you're facing the Bruins.
Right.
Yeah, but Marchand, this has not been an agitator this series. We haven't gotten a lot of Marchand agitation.
But
Tuca,
it doesn't matter. It's the hockey world, right? You're, like you said, it's the starter kid is hate Marchand, or you get the other starter kid, which is hate P.K. Subban. It's just what it is in the hockey world. And if you're a St. Louis Blues fan, that's what you should be doing is, you know. And if you're a St. Louis Blues player, you should be going after Marchand. You should be trying to get under his skin. You should be trying to make him
do something stupid, yes, get himself suspended.
Not going
for
after
a game
Tuukka
Rask.
But you're right, though. I mean, to go back to the point from earlier, it does not seem natural for the Blues to play this style of hockey. And even, you know, Blaze has to hit on Backes within the first 30 seconds or whatever it was of the game, and that doesn't set much of a tone. I mean, the Blues gave it to the Bruins for the first few minutes, but then we mentioned 3-0 before the end of the first period. It just, even when the Blues tried it and they didn't get a penalty on that, it just didn't seem to carry over.
Right, and they play a physical style of game, and they've come out of the gate trying to play that, and to a certain extent I think they're running themselves sort of dry out of the gate and trying to pursue those hits
because of the pregame ceremony.
Yes, they're so jacked up,
in the words of Ricky Bobby's father, lower the heart rate, you know?
And their anthem singer wore a black and gold
to drive with a tiger
outfit.
Now, was
was
that an omen?
Ooh, that was the biggest salvo since Josh Beckett's girlfriend,
yes,
sang the national anthem in Cleveland.
Yes, in the mind. And John Hamm going home empty-handed as well last night.
Did they really have a press conference for him?
They did.
Not small time.
I don't know.
Although,
I would have gone.
Isn't Pam the other fan that they have from the office?
Yeah. What was she going to say? She didn't know anything.
She probably got the loudest ovation of the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was she there?
She was there.
Yeah, because
the crowd loved it.
Most people are like, who the hell is John Hamm? Who's this guy?
Are you kidding me?
You think that Pam Beasley's a bigger star than John Hamm?
Yeah, I think the office would be bigger than Mad Men. You know?
Well, yeah, I think, okay, I mean, so, sure, but
I would say
she's not the star of that show.
We're going to put that poll up on our show Twitter.
I would say maybe
right
not
now.
She might be more recognizable than John Hamm. And the,
I don't know, John Hamm's an A-list movie star.
He's been other things besides Mad Men as well.
Yeah, I understand that, but when you look at, he's not an A-lister in movies in the sense he was in Drive Baby Drive, which, you know, I want to say he's an A-lister.
I love that alternative.
You ever heard
title,
of a show
Drive,
called
Baby,
Mad Men?
Huh? Yeah, I heard of the show Mad Men.
Okay.
You ever heard of the show called The Office?
Yes, I did.
I don't like The Office. You like The Office?
No. I'm just saying where, like...
She's like a B player in The Office.
How should I
phrase
this?
I understand that,
Which Blues fan is what?
More notable.
More famous.
From The Office.
More famous.
Yeah.
More
I would say famous. Because famous, like you does say, John Hamm isn't a bunch of
it's
movies.
More famous.
She's famouser, Rob.
No,
this would be my best poll since Rafael Devers, Vlad Guerrero.
I wouldn't say famous. I would maybe recognizable.
That's
more recognizable.
That's a good way to put it.
And I would say that Pam from the office.
So does John Hamm come back for game four tomorrow night?
See, they should. The whole problem is they should be bringing out Nelly. He's the true celebrity, most famous.
Could they fly in Drake maybe from Toronto for the games?
Yeah,
on the off night?
Yeah, I don't know if Drake's a Blues fan.
I mean,
he might be able to get Snoop Dogg.
The Bruins don't have... You know, it's not like the celebrities are sitting.
What are you
all over
talking
the place.
About?
I mean, Robert Kraft's waving the towel. What are you talking
you
about?
You did not see.
That's all you need.
Matt Damon hugging the Stanley Cup. We got Matt Damon. Who else we got? Mark Wahlberg. Mm.
They're not showing up to games.
Well, that's
we need a Mark.
That's really my point. Thank you, Pete.
We need
show
a Mark Wahlberg press conference.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
Who's our
five celebrity?
Now?
We don't have a celebrity.
Jermaine Wiggins.
Because Mark Wahlberg's really a
Belichick.
Celtics
Belichick.
Fan.
The Bruins celebrity
Damon
fans
and
are other athletes.
Yes. Well, Damon
that's
and
really
Affleck
what it is in Boston,
are,
too, though, right? Like
right.
The stars
Red Sox
are the
fans.
Athletes.
Damon and Affleck are Red Sox guys.
Yes.
Do we not have a Bruins guy? We need to find a Bruins
Belichick
guy.
And Kraft, I'm telling you.
We have the bartender who sings the national anthem.
Yeah, we got but I'm talking about, like, you know, somebody who's in the entertainment world.
Our biggest stars are on the ice. That's what they are.
That is true.
And they're up 2-1. Pete Blackburn, does he do an hour?
Stick around for another hour?
Going to make him work 5 hours?
The show, when you're on the Wiggy show.
Yeah.
We just kind of go with the flow.
Good. And because I would like to get his thoughts, if he's going to stick around, about these snooty hockey guys, the piece that I wanted you to take part in.
Oh, Penn Laird
and Matt Palman.
Since you refrained comment from
ripping
that.
Us, saying, you know, the hockey talk is just surface level. We all jump on in the playoffs. So you can speak for your snooty hockey brethren on the other side.
I'm with him because, listen, you guys got to get deeper in the
hockey
talk.
We got to get deeper, right, of course. We have to focus in on Char like you do.
You got to go down his levels to the hockey-ish, you know, like that Meek Mill song.
We'll do that and continue continue to celebrate a rousing Bruins Game 3 victory. Two wins away from the Cup. Reamer, Wiki, Bradfo, Sports Radio, WEI.
Bruins, you suck! Screw you!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.